past week, it was announced that Israel and Hamas agreed to a 20-point peace plan. First step, which Israel took on Friday, was a withdrawing of troops from Gaza. Next important step to be taken will be the release of all hostages by Hamas, which will include the remains of those who died while they were in custody, while Israel will release dozens of Palestinian prisoners. Now, many are looking at this immediate action as mission accomplished. Is it? Can hope spring eternal, where violence has been taking place for what feels like eternity? My next guest joins us to examine what's been established and what lies ahead for peace to result in the Middle East. He's Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East and Executive Director of the Association for the Study of the Middle East and Africa, Asaf Romorowski. How are you today, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Good to have you here to get some realistic view of what is happening already on a fast pace, but is the celebration premature? What we've been, the immediate reaction at least, I mean, it's certainly good news, but if you look at the 20-point plan, we've got a long way to go here.
100%. I mean, I think that it is a monumentous event that we even got to this point, and the fact that exactly marking 2 years, the two-year anniversary, since the horrific war began on October 7th, 2023. I think that we need to remain positive, cautiously optimistic. We are dealing with a jihadi, barbaric, Islamist terror organization vis-a-vis Hamas. That being said, I think that the setup is good in the sense that they signed the agreement. They were pressured by their own patrons, namely Qatar and Turkey, to make this happen, basically arguing to Hamas that after 2 years, this is the best deal you're going to get. I would also clarify, based on your earlier comments, it's not dozens. It's we're talking about Israel is going to release close to 1,700 active terrorists that were captured since the beginning of the war, plus another 250, that were life sentence prisoners that have been in Israeli jails, again, who've been doing, who've been engaged in horrific acts against Israelis and Jews and Americans for decades. And so that's what's going to happen in exchange. The number one issue, to your earlier point, really has been the hostages, the dead and alive, in order to bring closure. That they have been the focal point of the psychological warfare that we've been engaged with since the beginning of the war.
We've certainly been at this point several times over the history of Israel, but is this agreement different because for at least this time, Israel is not the one giving up the most? It seems to be Hamas has to give up the most here.
Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, I think that, Israel has suffered, a great deal of casualties throughout this war. There are over close to 900 soldiers who died throughout the course of this war. The hostages, the psychological warfare, as I mentioned before. There are still a lot of unclear and open-ended questions that need to be looked at. One has to do with the fact that the disarmament of Hamas, and Hamas's role in the day after tomorrow, that's a non-starter for the Israelis. That was part of the demands of the Trump 20 points that were laid out for them. And in exchange for that, they are to receive amnesty for the leadership to go to either Turkey or Qatar. And so they are getting a safe passage as far as that in order for the exchange for this to happen. But there's still a lot of questions about how this is all going to look like and does this come to fruition. And again, when you release active terrorists, I mean, are they going to basically fortify the bench? I mean, how does all of this play out? Unclear. The Israelis agreed, to move back militarily-wise as far as their active military actions around surrounding the Gaza City, and so they will move back on that. So I think, as has been leaked and put out there, it's phase one. This is not a full comprehensive peace process. It's a phase one that will lead to hopefully changing the environment after 2 years. I think that the Trump administration, I think that there is positivity, that there is a With this act, a potential of bringing around particularly the Saudis to join the Abraham Accords deal, the Saudis predicated their involvement on the ending of the war. And this could be the carrot that will bring the Saudis around the table. The Saudis have already had unofficial diplomatic relations with Israel, as we saw with the attack when it came to dealing with Iran. And will this be formalized as a result of what's going on with Gaza? That is the potential that, you know, I think could potentially happen and would be extremely positive.
You mentioned the Abraham Accords, and you point out, too, how the Arab nations played a role in making this happen. Of course, the U.S. was the lead horse, but the Arab nations were part of the team, no doubt. Would this have happened without the Abraham Accords? Would the Arab nations have climbed on to the degree they finally did with the said to Hamas, you know, you try to prove a point, you're not going to do it this way. Let's just move on and turn the page and go to some other strategy here.
Well, I don't think it sort of happened without the current administration. I mean, I think the President Trump and his administration and the fact that they have been almost lock and step with the Israelis on understanding what the threats are in the region, what are the regional challenges. And I think that the relationship between Netanyahu and Trump has been extremely positive and extremely strong, to move this along. This architecture has been set up by Trump's team vis-a-vis Witkoff and Kushner, and I think that's been extremely positive. But again, in conjunction with the Arab world, and I would also say that contextually it's worth noting that Trump did set this up during the General Assembly in September when he was meeting a lot of the leaders of the Arab world when they were here in New York. And he met with the president of Turkey and others, and so trying to make sure that he had all his ducks in line in order to move this along for a larger comprehensive move here, which is what you're seeing, coming to fruition now with this first phase. Again, there are a lot of unknowns, but I think that the number one issue that's been a major sticking point from the beginning of the war is releasing the hostages. The war could have ended, months ago. Had there been pressure to release the hostages, Hamas could have ended this. And that's been the ongoing motivation by the Israelis from the get-go to continue the war.
So with Asaf Romorowski, who is Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East and the Executive Director of the Association for the Study of the Middle East and Africa. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned Benjamin Netanyahu. Did he make a mistake when, in what he thought were private conversations, that Netanyahu alluded that he was the boss in the relationship with Trump, and he was leading Trump around and forcing the issues with Trump? And just by observation, that's not something you try to do when you're dealing with Donald Trump. And I think Netanyahu found that out.
Look, I think that Benjamin Netanyahu has a, has been around for a very long time, has his own healthy ego, as far as, him being one of the longest sitting prime minister Israel has ever had, and having negotiated with many U.S. presidents for that matter. I think that there's a lot of push and pull with when you're dealing with diplomatic negotiators and when you're dealing with world leaders and trying to move along different interests and national interests. I think that the two allies need each other, and they have shown that they can work together and successfully. I mean, I think that the attack in Iran in the summer was a phenomenal feat and showing the U.S.-Israel alliance at its best. And coming together, dealing with a common enemy. And by the way, all of the fronts that Israel has been fighting in the region have been also enemies of the United States. So I think that there has been a difference of, potentially tactics and policies as it relates. But I think the overall message that they are mostly on the same page. But the United States is still the United States. As far as the world stands versus the state of Israel. And I think that was also clear and how this came about as well. I mean, there's no doubt that this never would have happened if it weren't for the pressure and for the architecture that Donald Trump set up.
The conversation, at least thus far, has primarily been focusing on the two parties, Israel and Hamas. What does this peace agreement mean for the people of Gaza? Which I think that we need to pay more attention to, because their homeland is pretty much rubble for the most part.
Well, so that's the big question. I mean, I think that the biggest challenge also is that Hamas has also been a threat to Palestinian society, and disentangling Hamas from Palestinian society. And now the big question is, what does the reconstitution, rehabilitation of Gaza looks like? I mean, it's part of what has been laid out there, put out there, that there, you know, the fact that, you know, individuals like Tony Blair and others would be involved in the reconstitution, and who's going to be the major parties, you know, within, outside European and Arab money and other, you know, U.S., you know, U.S. involvement as well, as far as rebuilding Gaza. That's where, you know, I think the potential, to my earlier point, vis-a-vis the Saudi involvement and whatnot. And then there's a fundamental question, which we should not forget, is, you know, the Palestinian Authority itself. And the Palestinian Authority, which is run by an octogenarian who's been serving 20 years of a four-year term, and he has also been supportive of Hamas's action. So there's also a question of trust, and does he, you know, is his narrative any that far different than Hamas? You know, unclear. You know, he has definitely been, you know, out there supporting Hamas's actions. So there needs to be a question of cracking down on the ideology, the education, the incitement. These are all problems that need to be fixed. And there are all obviously granular problems as far as structurally rebuilding Gaza, aid, you know, all these questions that have been, that need to be looked at as far as an infrastructure to rebuild. Let's not forget that for 20 years, Hamas has been building an underground tunnel maze, a terror tunnel maze that they've been using. And so all of that needs to be taken apart, and it has been taken apart, thankfully, by the Israelis, but the whole area needs to be rebuilt, and that's going to take years.
Wrap up here with a reminder for you listening. If you look at the 20-point plan, and there's many resources, you can do just that. You think that we're going through, as I said back, a time of celebration. Well, let's wait and see what happens when we get to the point where Hamas members are being called on to accept peaceful coexistence with Israel, while those who don't want to go with that line can be sent to countries who might accept them. And keep in mind that that idea goes directly 180 degrees opposite of what the Hamas charter is all about. So, as I said, it's a great start, and let's see if momentum can carry the positive further into the 20 points of the peace plan. We've been talking with the Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East and Executive Director of the Association for the Study of the Middle East and Africa. We have links to those two sites at our homepage. Asaf Romorowski, thank you for the insight of the facts, the truth, and the realistic ideas of what lies ahead. And thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, as always. I appreciate it.